Christ's sake, it's my privilege to welcome to the pulpit tonight now to bring the word, Reverend Phil Owen, who ministers in Boston, New York, just outside of the city of Buffalo. He's no stranger to our congregation here. He came a number of years ago to preach at the men's retreat, and it was a great encouragement. The folks remember him with fondness, and we're glad that he is here. Recently being in prayer for him, the loss of his dear father. So as he comes tonight, we continue to uphold him, that the Lord will strengthen him in a season of grief. I'm glad that he has been willing to come, preach the word, and we look forward to how he will speak to us through him. Brother Phil, thank you.
Thanks for your kind words, David. It is enjoyable to bask in the blessing of the Lord here in New Hampshire. So happy for you, and we've been remembering you in prayer and certainly enjoyed the pictures over the winter. We have a lot in common, S-N-O-W, and I didn't get a real good look at the pictures of everyone on the roof. I don't know if you were sledding or shoveling up there, but it's actually scarier to me to think about ocean effect versus lake effect snow and to hear the nor'easters coming. Isn't it exciting that we're probably in about a decade of brutal winters to come? And it really is. I bought a used F-150 3 years ago, and this time I bought a plow. So it's just exciting to now drink coffee instead of getting your face pummeled with snow using a four-wheeler. But I have an old friend that grew up in New Hampshire, and he said that he was a snow plow operator, and he said that these crazy people, when the snows were high in those days especially, he said he'd be plowing and there'd be actually people on top of the snow banks, you know, as the waves came, they were kind of skiing off to the side, and he just thought that that was a crazy thing to do, but that sounds pretty exciting, doesn't it? And I thought it was exciting. Last Friday, as I was driving the bus past a ski resort, there was actually snow still. There were still some patches of snow. And so right into May, I was really hoping that it'd go into June, but I think it's probably melted by now. But it's really a blessing to be back here. David mentioned that I was here a few years ago. When I think of Grace Free Presbyterian, I think of grace, I think of encouragement. When David contacted me to come here for the men's retreat, my head was on a table. I was devastated. I just thought, how can I continue to preach? The Sunday before, one of our elders' aunt attended the service, and she'd never been there before. She had some issues, but we really hoped that she would trust the Lord, and we had some good conversation with her afterwards. But that night, she committed suicide in the Niagara River. And I just thought, how could I be blessed of the Lord if someone could take her life? Aren't I supposed to preach for people to be converted? And I just remember having my head on the table, and the phone rang. And David was actually asking me to preach. And I just thought, could it be the grace of God? Here's a woman that's gone into eternity, and yet the Lord isn't through with me after all, I guess. And just a few weeks ago, as David mentioned, it was a very sad time to lose now my second parent. And for those of you who have lost parents, you know how deeply grievous it is. But Dad, the Saturday before he died, without any prompting, as I was sitting, actually thinking that I'd be preaching the next morning, but he got worse and worse, so I stayed over. He looked at me with all the wires in him, and he said, "Phil, I want you to know I've asked the Lord into my heart." And that was a joy that was unspeakable. And on Tuesday afternoon, after I stayed over three or four nights with him until 11 in the morning, and I'd go and shower and return later. Cousins and nieces and nephews would be there, but they called me over and said, "You better hurry, it's time." And I made it by about a minute. And I went around the bed, and they had him sitting up. They had just tried to drain his lungs, and his eyes were open. He could hardly breathe. And I just said, "Dad." And he looked over at me, and just that was the last stare, and then one last breath. And I had the privilege of closing Dad's eyes. You know, I couldn't help but think of what the Lord said to Jacob, that his son Joseph would close his eyes in Egypt. And it was a privilege that just unspeakable. Thank you for your prayers, and the Lord has given grace. And trust that He'll be with us tonight and continue to speak to our hearts. In our town, there is a business appropriately named The Oasis. It's a bed and breakfast for weary travelers. There's an oasis in the Bible for weary readers. First Chronicles is not normally on the top 10 list of favorite books. Most likely Ezra compiled the genealogies and some spiritual accounts of David that were omitted in 2 Samuel and Kings, and David's preparation for the temple. Now, genealogies are certainly necessary and profitable. Give us the family tree for people at that time, and a bona fide history of the Jews, and the fact that God keeps records. But certainly, it's not the easiest book. And there's an oasis in chapter 4 in the midst of all the names, in the midst of the genealogy. And you've probably entered that oasis and enjoyed it as you've been reading through 1 Chronicles. Chapter 4, verses 9 to 10, the account of Jabez. And for those of you who pronounce him Jabez, forgive me, and I hope I won't annoy you. I'm going to call him Jabez. The Bible tells us in chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles, verses 9 to 10, that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And sorrow is kind of a play on words from the name Jabez. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. This is God's word. Apparently, Jabez was well known by Ezra, or the writer, and the Jews at that time. He was head and shoulders above the rest. This passage kind of reminds me of Genesis 5, where it gives the account of the patriarchs, their life, the years of their life, their sons and daughters, and then the year of their death, and just continues. But all of a sudden, you find Enoch. You know, kind of an oasis even there in that first genealogy. And Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. It says it twice. And he was not, for God took him. Well, Jabez wasn't translated like Enoch, but he was taken up with the Lord, certainly in prayer. In a desert of names, one stood out. And so I'd like us to consider just the simple thought, the oasis of prayer, or the oasis of a praying saint. We find, firstly, that it's a distinguishing mark of a believer. And an oasis should be a relief for sojourners, and it is a distinguishing landmark, certainly, in a weary land, in the wilderness. And the Bible tells us that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. I don't know if this is kind of like comparing the Bereans versus the Thessalonians, where they were all believers, but some were more noble than others. And by the way, I think the Thessalonians caught up. They probably didn't like that contrast. And it tells us in 1 Thessalonians that when they received the word of God, they received it as not as the word of men, but as the word of God, which effectually worketh in us that believe. So even if we have a slow start and we're known for being sluggish and less noble than others, that there is time. The Lord is gracious. Or if the comparison is between like Joseph and Jesus' brothers, and Joseph and Jesus, that they weren't saved at the time, I'm not sure. But certainly what it is saying is that that Jabez stood out. Maybe it's saying that his brothers had capitulated to the world if they were believers, and they were just kind of apathetic, and Jabez wanted to go forward, and he didn't want to just exist as a believer. And a praying believer is a refreshing relief, and prayer is a place for us to find rest, and a place to find water and a place to find food, fellowship with God. The Bible tells us, for instance, of Moses and Aaron and Samuel, Psalm 70 or Psalm 99. They were among those that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord and he answered them. Prayer is an oasis. And a praying believer is an oasis for God's people. A praying saint sounds redundant, but it's too often a contradiction. Don't faint in the desert. Get to the oasis. This is a desert land. But prayer is a place where you can find rest and recuperation and strength and fellowship with your God. It's a distinguishing mark. Secondly, it's an overcoming feature in a fallen world. The Bible tells us his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him in sorrow." Now, Genesis 3 tells us that women would generally bear children with sorrow, so this had to be extraordinary. Maybe she was dying. Maybe she died in bearing Jabez. Maybe just it was a real difficult time in Israel, being subjugated or threatened by their enemy. Maybe there was a family tragedy, maybe a financial downfall, perilous times. But it seemed to be a cause for pessimism and cynicism and skepticism. But Jabez called on the God of Israel. As the psalmist said, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Prayer is an oasis from war and worry and trouble and sorrow. He kept his name, didn't he? He overcame that name. He didn't change it, but he felt that God could help him to compensate for it and overcome it. And here we are tonight. We were born with the name sinner and rebel. And as we call upon the name of the Lord, he changes us, doesn't he? He saves our wretched souls. And prayer is the way to seek the Lord. We find him through Christ as we call upon him in our dire need. Think of somebody like Meher Shalal Hashbaz. How'd you like to have that name? Maybe they called him Hashbaz. But hasten, spoil, hurry, booty. How'd you like to have that for a name? But yet he overcame it, I suppose. But I think of a man named Ichabod Spencer. Maybe you have the two volume pastor sketches, 77 of some 20,000 accounts of his dealing with anxious souls about their salvation. But the man burned out and died at the age of 57. He's actually born in Vermont, and he was an associate or a co-pastor at Jonathan Edwards Church in Northampton, and then he took the Second Presbyterian Church in Brooklyn. They actually called him the Bunyan of Brooklyn. But his conversations with anxious souls is really intense, and I recommend the reading. Just careful, meticulous sketches of intense soul winning, going back over and over again to reach people lovingly with the gospel, and so many were converted. But here was a man who was named Ichabod for whatever reason. Perhaps, again, his mother, his parents were in difficult straits. And yet here was a man that overcame that. And he saw the glory of God in his ministry, although it may have departed when he was born. So we can overcome in this wicked world, in this fallen world, by always resorting to the place of prayer and seeking the Lord. Thirdly, we find it's a hospitable place, isn't it? The place of prayer. I think of when the Israelites, as recorded in Exodus 15, went to Elim. You remember there were 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees, and I suppose they were date palms or coconut palms. But there was water, there was food, there was shade, there was rest, there was the presence of God. And so it is in prayer. And you find here that he doesn't just pray for one thing. You find that the man just pours out his heart to the Lord, and he realizes the Lord is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. He prays for grace to bless me indeed. He certainly invokes the Lord as he calls out, Oh, wilt thou bless me indeed. He realizes God is a God of grace and blessing. What does that mean, bless? It's general, but it's saying, Lord, you're gracious, you're good, and I know that you're here to bless, that your ear is open to your servant. He prays that God would enlarge his coast. He's praying for growth, whether it's territory or land. We're not exactly sure, but he's praying for growth. He's praying for guidance, that God's hand would be with him. He's praying for direction. He's praying for protection, that God would keep him from evil. He's praying for joy and enjoyment of the Lord, that it might not grieve me. It's the word used in Proverbs 15:13, that by sorrow of the heart, there's depression. Yet the Bible says the merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. Here was a man that through prayer, he must have been a cheerful man. In the midst of a difficult day. Prayer is a hospitable place. Why do we neglect it? It's an oasis in this wilderness. God is there. Grace is there. Growth is to be had at the place of prayer. Guidance, peace, joy, fellowship with believers. It's a virtual Elam, isn't it, for us in the wilderness. It's a hospitable place. It's a place, fourthly, that propels us unto the next leg of our journey. Jabez certainly is recorded here as a man of prayer, but the Jews recognized that Jabez was also a man of the word, a man of learning. The only other place where we find Jabez is in chapter 2, and it's actually a place. And I don't think it's a long shot to connect this place with the man himself in chapter 4. Chapter 2, verse 55 says that the families of the scribes dwelt at Jabez. And so this man indeed overcame to the point where a place was named after him. And he prayed, did he not, that the Lord would enlarge his coasts? And the fact that scribes, those who copy the scriptures, were located there. Maybe there was a college of scribes. We're not exactly sure, but the Jews recognized that he was a man who loved the word. And if Ezra indeed is the author, think about it. Ezra was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. And this must have been a delight for Ezra to record that there were godly scribes there at Jabez. What a wonderful profession. Wouldn't it be to copy scriptures and just to be able to have them read to you and then copy them over and over? It must have been tedious, and you probably lost your eyesight doing it after a short time, but what a great privilege it was. And you know, you connect the two. You connect prayer and scripture. We all know that if we're praying without an open word, we become monkish. And if we have the word without prayer, we become bookish. Oh, that the Lord would give us that blessed medium. Like Jesus, Jabez was a student of the scriptures. I wonder if he had the access to some of David's psalms, and he prayed with open psalms, with open scripture. And certainly he found strength to go on to the next leg of his journey. And we saw that the man went on with the Lord and indeed was more honorable than his brethren. And I just leave you with a last thought, that prayerfulness is a legacy to leave with the generations behind us. When you think about it, this was the one thing that's left about Jabez. The only thing, really, if you combine it with his learning and his love of the scriptures and the scribes being in the city. But this is what he left with the generation. This is what he left with us. How many thousand years later we know of Jabez being a man of prayer? What do we want to leave with our children and grandchildren and great? When we leave this life, what will be that one thought, that one taste that will be in their mouth? Will it be that we left them riches and that we wanted to be famous? Or you sadly hear so often when people leave this scene that they made us laugh, or, you know, he could throw a football, or she was a great golfer or something like that. But, oh, to be able to know, to say, you know, my dad was a man of prayer. My mother love the Lord and love the scriptures. Daniel tells us that they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Jabez, no doubt, was a winner of souls and an influence. God heard his prayer, and I would imagine that enlarging of his coast was more than just land that he received, but that many came to know the Lord as he cried out to the God of Israel. What did Jabez do in a day of calamity? Like today, we're in a day of we have a moral revolution occurring right before our eyes, a spiritual upheaval. Good is called evil, and evil is called good. What should we do? Should we worry? Should we be cynical? We should be like Jabez. He prayed, and he prayed and he prayed. He read and he spread the word and he prayed earnestly. He called on the God of Israel. I encourage this church to continue in your heritage of prayer. Grace, Free Presbyterian Church. God is a God of grace. What an appropriate name. God has blessed you indeed. God has enlarged your coasts. But let me encourage you, there are more coasts to gain. Your influence for Christ, your witness, souls for Jesus, daughter churches, venues of ministry, fullness of the Spirit. I encourage you to see the prayer meeting as an oasis for your soul, your family altar, your personal prayer closet, your spontaneous prayer throughout the day. Get off into the oasis. We know it's not a mirage. It's an oasis to be with the Lord. It's an oasis to seek Him in prayer in this desert land. May we always take it to the Lord in prayer as we find ourselves in difficult circumstances. Prayer distinguishes God's people from the rest of the world. It's an overcoming feature. It's a hospitable place. It propels us in this journey, and it will be a legacy to leave with your descendants in mind. Thank God for the place of prayer. Thank God for a Savior who intercedes for us and invites us to the throne of grace. Let us pray. O Lord, forgive us for neglecting the throne of grace, the oasis for our souls. Lord, whom have we in heaven but Thee? And there's none upon earth that we desire beside Thee. Lord, thank You for the refuge that we find through the Lord Jesus Christ in fellowshipping with our Father and the Savior and the Holy Spirit. O God, bless this congregation indeed more and more. You're able to do even more, exceeding abundant above what You've already done. Lord, I pray that each one would be a Jabez, a man, a woman of prayer, seeking Thy face, finding rest, peace, protection, blessing, grace, joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thank You, Lord, that we could be part of their blessing this week. And we do ask that You would bless all of our sister congregations. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Smile upon us. Give us all the spirit of prayer and supplication. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.